Aloha, everyone, and welcome to Going Shamanic. My name is Jennifer Ingrassio, and my medicine name is Snowhawk, and I'm your host today for the show on Reiki, a Japanese energy healing modality. This show is pre-recorded, so we won't be taking callers. For today's introduction, I took the description about Reiki straight from the Key Lifestyle website on Karel Mel's website, and so I quote from there. Reiki originated from Buddhist India and spread to Tibet across Southeast Asia and then to China and Japan. It dates back in written records 2,500 years. It's believed to be in our divine blueprint from pre-Atlantean times, and it comes from channelers. Jesus was believed to be a Reiki master trained in the Essene Monastery near the India border, at Qumran, home of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Concepts of psychic technique, visualization, initiation, attunement, meditative states, and spiritual healing involving the mind, emotions, and body indicate a form of Buddhism called Tantra. Uh-oh, I think I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing this. I'm going to try my best. Vajrayana Buddhism. Tantra is a highly esoteric form of Mahayana Buddhism that was developed in Tibet. It requires complete dedication and many years of psychic and meditative training. The goal is oneness of being. Two outgrowths of tantric practice are the development of psychic abilities and healing skills. The path was meant for adepts and was not readily available or documented. It was passed down orally from teachers or ancient temple priests to protect it from corruption. The Tibetan Tantra Lotus Sutra, a text written in the 2nd or 1st century CE, offers the symbol formula for the technique of Reiki. Mikeo Yusui was a Japanese man who began a quest for the lost Reiki in the late 1800s. He ended up in a Zen Buddhist monastery where he found the text describing the healing formula, which he learned to read after studying Sanskrit for many years. The text didn't include information on how to activate the energy and make it work. Obscuring the sutras was intentional. Mikeo went through a 3-week period meditation, fasting, and prayer on Mount Koriyama in Japan. And on the last day, light struck his third eye, giving information on each of the symbols and how to activate them. It was a psychic discovery or rediscovery of an ancient method, and it is also believed to be a gift from Buddha. Reiki is a natural way to heal. Without addressing the process of mind and spirit, the body can't be permanently healed. Reiki is a holistic, natural, safe way to heal. There are no contra effects. As energy goes where it needs to go, or it may also be sent into the earth if the receiver doesn't accept it. What does Reiki do? Well, it relaxes, detoxifies, speeds healing, activates cleansing and metabolism, regenerates, rebuilds the body's ability to cope, shrinks tumors, cleanses chakras, releases blockages, reduces side effects of chemical drugs, changes mental patterns and emotional release, releases karmic and life patterns, and many more. Today, Karel Mel is our guest, again. We're always glad to have her. She is the owner of Key Lifestyle Solutions, and she's in the business of bringing souls closer to their life purpose through the means of education and experience. She's a Reiki master teacher, a shamanic practitioner, an all-around effective healer, in my experience, with 20 years worth of work in her field. Welcome back to the show, Karel.
Thank you, Jen. It's really great to be with you again.
So maybe talk a little bit about how you found Reiki and what attracted you to it.
Oh, well, that's a great story. but I guess not to make it a long story, but I had a crisis or change in my life that came up that prompted me to move through and discover more what Reiki was about. And what that initial piece was is that I discovered that I did not love myself, and that I really, really didn't understand what love meant. And I realized that I was everything to everyone else, but really didn't know who I was. So when this crisis came up in my life, I was searching for answers. And I happened to go to a psychic fair of all places, but a lady was there that recommended me to go and see the individual or lovely person that was doing Reiki sessions. So she said, go to that lady over there and she should be able to help you. And so I went over there and she got me on the table and started doing Reiki. And I was just blown away how all of a sudden I was feeling emotion and she was telling me things about what was going on with my energy field and some of the answers that I needed. And so my dear friend that was with me, we decided that we would take the class to learn more about it. And I really didn't know what I was getting myself into. I didn't really know that going on this journey was going to change my life completely and move it in a whole different direction. So through that, I sit here today and with much more perspective in my life, knowing who I am, what my path is, and then adding in the shamanic piece was another huge cornerstone about figuring out who I am. And when you become a Reiki master or engage in Reiki, you make a commitment that you're going to continue on that journey to heal and grow. And so shamanic practices really helped me with that because I really didn't have that kind of support in my world at that time. That was back in 1997. There wasn't a lot of people teaching Reiki, and it was something brand new. So I started to practice and just really dig in my heels and do those healing pieces for myself. So that, in a nutshell, is what got me on this path. And I must say that I would never change one bit of that journey, because all of it was trying to understand who I was, reflections of healing and growing, and has brought me to where I am today.
Well, it's interesting that you were attracted to a spiritual sort of modality when you had a crisis, because I think that happens to a lot of people that maybe didn't have any spiritual practices for most of their life, and then something hits and they need to think out of the box in order to really deal with what's happened. Do you see a lot of people like that in your Reiki practice, just out of curiosity? Yeah.
Yes, Jen, I do. And when the question comes up, it's they know that there's something that's pushing them to figure out about that piece. And, you know, just speaking to spirit, not even realizing that I was speaking to spirit because I was very upset. Spirit heard me loud and clear. And I believe that even today, people are even more aware. I find, you know, they're grasping the pieces of waking up, but then they realize that there's parts of that journey that they can't all do on their own. They can't complete that without having a little bit of guidance, and just to wake up more knowledge within themselves. Mm-hmm. So yes, it usually comes from a place of what the heck am I doing? Because all this stuff over here that I'm doing in my tonal world or, you know, my regular every day, there's more to life. I know there's more to life. And so they start seeking mm-hmm. to find out and uncover that sacred path for themselves.
It was funny. My dad was really cute a while back because I grew up Catholic, right? So my dad was saying to me, you know, I've thought about giving up Catholicism. He's like, because it doesn't totally fit, but how do you shop for a religion? That was so cute because I was like, yeah, I don't think you really shop, but there is definitely a seeking aspect. And personally for me, like, I believe that there's not one path or one true path that everybody needs to be on, that it, you know, all these different paths lead back to spirit, but really the seeking is finding the path that is the best for you, for who you are, for what it is that resonates with you. And so I'm interested because I think for some people, you know, some people might question why Reiki and shamanism seem to go together, but you've combined them quite easily in a lot of ways in your practice. Can you talk a little bit about that, about how two such different modalities in some ways can be used together so effectively?
Sure. In the beginning, over the course of time, there seemed to be, you know, I was attracted to Reiki and because it was just no particular denomination of a religion. It was strictly just being with spirit. And then I discovered that shamanism really spoke to me because it connects to all the other important things that I love about being on this planet, about caring for the animal world and the plant world and all those things. So bringing them together felt very natural. I mean, if you think about it, Dr. Mikayo Yasui went on a vision quest on a mountain, which is, mountains are powerful vision quest spots. So if you want to call it that, I mean, yes, he went on a meditation, but then when I cued the two together, I went, oh, okay. So that's no different than what I've done in the past when I've done ceremony for myself and getting more in touch. His was a little more intense, however, it was quite a ceremony. Can't imagine even stepping up to that, being able to do that for 3 weeks. However, bringing the two together has, and how do you do that? There is a bit of a walk of understanding intricately the different energies and the different aspects of what makes up that particular energy trackway. And how do you bring them together? Because shamanism has specific things and Reiki has specific things. The two unique pieces of bringing these together is that they both have different lineages that follow their own alchemy and protocol. But they stand very uniquely by themselves. And then when you still honor those two lineages, together, when you honor them together, they both have a way of speaking and honoring, say, if there was a healing circle, as an example, they both have a way of honoring that thread of energy and how they participate together.
So it's not like mixing them in a soup pot. It's more like making layers of a cake.
That's right. Because as you know, if you put a whole bunch of things into a soup pot, sometimes the soup doesn't taste so good. Mm-hmm. The flavor doesn't come out right. So you don't want to add just willy-nilly everything. You want to do it in a very conscious way with awareness, because every piece of alchemy that you add will have an effect to the outcome. Mm-hmm. So you keeping it simple and simplistic is probably ultimately the most important thing. And then you can add as you go, but understanding what is the effect of that energy, what is it going to have in relationship to your intent or the outcome that you're looking for. And so that just, that takes some time and some practice and patience.
Sorry, go ahead, Carol.
So ultimately, if you put things together too quickly, you may not understand or know exactly what the effect that you, the result that what you got. So it's kind of like when people do, they do a study on something, right? This is kind of the same thing.
Yeah. And I find it's always, when I get an inspiration from spirit, it's always good for me to try stuff out on myself first. Yes. You know, just to see what the energy is so that I can understand it before I would try it on anyone else, you know.
Yes.
So I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think sometimes, although we can't understand all the reasons or the way everything goes together on the level of spirit, I really respect that conscious way of working with the different modalities. And I wanted to go back a little bit to talk about, see if you can explain, like, what's the difference? Like, what is Reiki energy exactly? And what's the difference maybe between Reiki energy and what happens with shamanic energy?
Okay, so there's four main energy pathways. There's the divine pathway, the elemental pathway, the imagination pathway, and the power pathway. And shamanism tends to be more around the power pathway and the elemental pathway. And Reiki is around the divine pathway with the imagination pathway. However, all these energy pathways can be used either in both, right, at the same time. Mm. It's again, about the intent of how you approach and go into a healing space, as an example. So Reiki energy has its own alchemy, which is the symbols, and those symbols act like little antennas that they have divinely been selected, that particular script, to bring down that specific power or light being that is what makes up that symbol. In the same way as shamanism, we have different protocols and alchemy that we use maybe in a ceremony. And that might be, I'll use as an example. So you've got the element of fire and a herb in a bowl to use as sage to clear and cleanse. Whereas in Reiki, you have a symbol, which is Seiheiki, which is for cleansing, clearing, and protecting and purifying.
Mm-hmm.
So one has a more tangible feel to it, and the other one you're strictly using energy. So though, and I find that you have to use more of your imagination to bring in that element with Reiki. There's more of the psychic eye.
Well, I guess the other thing from my experience too is one thing that I see as, like, for me, Reiki is a form of shamanism. Like a specific branch of shamanism that probably deals more with direct energy transmission and channeling. But like when I was first, I remember that first class that I took with you, Carol, when we did level one and I got my first attunement for the first symbol. And that night I went home and I literally was dreaming that all these symbols were falling on me. Like I was in this scape of symbols, and not all the symbols were Reiki symbols. Some of the symbols were symbols I hadn't even seen before.
Right.
But they were very much, the feeling of them to me in my dream was very much like, these are symbols, but they actually mean something. Like they're embedded with energy.
Yeah.
Just like when you see petroglyphs or that kind of power that comes off the rocks from the symbols themselves. You know that these are sacred symbols. They're not just random writing or drawings.
Right.
So that part of it was interesting too, because those sigils and symbols have been also used in shamanism since really the beginning of time.
Yes, they have. Yes, absolutely. So you can see how both of them uniquely have a specific way of working with all those energy pathways. Mm. Just one works with it. They both work with it a little bit differently. And the interesting thing is the lineage piece that goes behind them. So shamanism can have different lineages, and same with Reiki has a few different lineages. But it ultimately goes back to the creative force, great spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the consciousness of one.
So why would you, so on your website, you say that if somebody doesn't accept that Reiki energy when you're working with them, that it can, it just goes back into the earth, or it can just go back into the earth. Why would somebody choose not to receive that energy if it's energy coming from a divine source, for instance?
Well, that particular person just may be in their karmic wheel of being at the cause and effect of karma, in the sense of they've blocked off their conscious acceptance, if you will. So they have energetic blocks there. And everybody has free choice and free will. Mm. So any person can choose to take in or to not take in energy. I think that's what uniquely divides, or not divides us, but makes us all different. Certainly that energy, and I think when we talk about that specifically, is when we do long distance and we send prayers and energy across the ethers, a person still at that point with their higher self can decide whether they want to take in that energy or not. It may depend on, you know, what their soul contract is here on this planet.
And so you're saying that you also can do one way that Reiki is different than shamanism in some ways is the person doesn't have to be right in front of you.
Correct.
That you can actually send the energy through distance. So I'm here in Canada, but I can do a distance healing on a person or even an animal in Germany, for instance. Or yes. I can also send that healing into an ocean or to a place in the world that needs it. So one of the things that I've noticed is if I send energy somewhere where the person hasn't asked me to, you know, or I'm in somebody's energy field and they don't want me to be there, then, you know, I learned early on that that's not a good thing to do. You're basically invading someone's energy space when they haven't asked you for any kind of healing work. So how do you work with Reiki in a way that still respects other people and their energetic right to privacy? But at the same time, you're still sending this energy in a way that it could help.
Right. So you're going to be checking in with their 12th chakra, if you will, 11th, 10th chakras. You're going to be checking in with their higher self to see if they're willing to accept it. Now, obviously, that takes some great discernment as to whether that's okay or not. But I always tell my students that if you're still unsure about that, you can still send that energy out there. And if they so choose to take that energy, they can. But you don't specifically intend to send it to that specific person if you don't have permission, if you don't have verbal permission.
Mm-hmm.
Their higher self will know, because that energy is going to be out there in the Nagual space, like in the dream space, the other realities. That energy goes out there. And it's there for everybody to use. And if that person wakes up just a little bit or sends out a prayer for themselves, they will find that thread of light that's been put out there, specifically for them, maybe, right? Because, as I mentioned, we're all connected. And there is more of that beautiful light energy going into the universe now.
Mm-hmm.
So I see people waking up. There's a lot more people questioning. There's a lot more people going, wow, I know there's something specifically magical about this. That's the best word I can describe, because it's something they're not used to. And you know, humans want to put something tangible on it that they can experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they do experience it, they go, oh my gosh, like that so speaks to me. I know that that's a truth. I don't know how I know, but I know.
Yeah, and it's definitely something that you need to be able to experience to understand. I think sometimes we do things the opposite way, where we want all the logic and the explanations first.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can give somebody all of the concepts and the theory, like in a way what we're doing here on the radio show today. But unless somebody has an experience of Reiki or anything really, then they don't have their own knowledge about it. They don't have their own awareness about it. It's just something that somebody else told them based on a concept, right?
Exactly.
So I'm wondering whether we can do a little bit of an experiment now while we're on the air, if we could maybe send some Reiki energy out to whoever will listen to this show with the intention that, it's there for you if you want to grab onto it and see how it feels, like in your energy field. And then at the end of the show, we'll just check in again and see what's changed.
Sure. So do you want to pick somebody in specifically or in general?
Well, I was thinking we could send it out in general. Now, I wasn't planning on this. This is just something that fell in now. I thought, well, what better way than to just send the energy out there with the intent that anybody listening to the show can grab onto it.
Yeah.
And then we as Reiki practitioners, we can check the energy now and then maybe check the energy at the end of the show to see what changes, knowing that no one's listening to this show right now that we're recording it.
Right.
But
yeah,
because we're working in the energy realms and in the shamanic realms or the spiritual realms, we can travel time and space.
Correct. Okay, I think that's a good experiment. Yeah. So as we're doing this, do we want to give like a minute or two because it's going to be silent? Or do you just want to send out a specific intent with Reiki symbols?
Yeah, why don't we send out an intent just so we don't have a lot of dead time on the air?
Yes. Yes.
And then whoever is listening after we set the intent and put the energy out, I guess the instructions I would give is just for people to notice as they're listening to the rest of the show what's shifting inside of them. Or if they choose to grab onto that energy, how that energy feels in their space. And then we'll let it go at the end of the show.
Yeah. I like it.
You like it? Okay. So do you want to kick us off there, Carol?
Sure. So let's set an intent that we're going to send out and activate with Choku Rei to open up the energy. And the intent is to feel that energy in the heart chakra, so in the heart space. This is an important space right now for many people. To open up their hearts and to keep them open. So Jen, you and I could do Choku Rei as I'm speaking this. So let's put in Choku Rei. Choku Rei, Choku Rei, Choku Rei. The intent is to send loving energy to open up the heart chakra and to feel. So somebody who maybe has not been feeling in their heart will notice maybe an emotion. And it could be any kind of emotion, happiness, sadness, just to open up that space. And whoever so chooses can take that energy and feel. And we'll put some dicomio in there, dicomio, dicomio, and dicomio. And to make it over space and time, Hanchasation in, Hanchasation in, and Hanchasation in. So I'm imagining just the chakra of the heart the heart chakra and the heart mind to come together. To feel that expansion. And as you feel that expansion, your energy field will feel, you'll feel more freedom and feel more space. And perhaps maybe that heaviness that's on your chest lifting, and the breath is easier. So as you take a deep breath in through the nose and out through the mouth, there is a release. And then that release allows the body to relax. And we'll set that up to remain there for the duration of the show.
Whenever people are listening to it.
Yes.
I guess.
Yeah.
An interesting experiment.
Yes.
You know, it was really... I kind of had an aha when we just did this, that I've been practicing Reiki for years, and this is the first time where I've made the link where every one of the symbols is a prayer. It's it's got its own energy signature, its own way that it works. And so I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about each of the symbols and what they mean, and then maybe talk about attunements as well, and what those are.
All right. So Choku Rei is the first symbol. It's one of the easier ones to draw. And if you practice calligraphy with it and practice drawing it in a balanced way where it's all measured out in meeting, it gives you an indication of how well your chakras are balanced as well. And its energy is about turning on the light switch or putting the power here. So it activates an energy flow. I always imagine it kind of opening up a trackway of this amazing light energy that comes through. And your hands will start to heat up, or the energy will change or shift as soon as you draw Choku Rei. And it's also the symbol that... assists with physical healing from the beginning. Some people attune people with the symbols in the second level, and I attune the first symbol, Choku Rei, in the first level, because it's something that can actually activate and move your energy quicker, if you will. Each symbol themselves has a specific light being or Buddha energy that goes with them. So we're always, you know, we do a protection prayer, but those Buddhas or light beings that go with those symbols are with us all the time when we activate Reiki. And Seiheiki is for purification, clearing, and protection. And you can use that to purify your water, to clear a space. If you were clearing a house, perhaps, like protecting, clearing it out and then protecting the windows and outlets and doors. It's excellent to clear stones and things like that, like taking, removing the energy off. So sometimes if I don't have smudge, that's what I use, is Seiheiki. And then we have Honchasei Shonen, which is past, present, and future, which we use for our long distance. It's also the Akashic Records and looks across our lifetimes. A very important one, and probably one of the most intricate to learn. Then in the master level, there's Daikomyo, which is again addressing more of the spiritual self. Oh, and I forgot to mention with Seiheiki, it's the emotional healing. And Daikomyo is more of our spirit self, so that addresses the top three chakras and above. There is another symbol that we use in attunements, and only for attunements. And attunements, I'll just describe that. It is a way to clear off the dross or karmic issues that reside in your auric field. So when you have an attunement, the symbols actually go into your auric field. We open up the crown and it creates a wider trackway to the universe and to spirit to bring in that beautiful Reiki energy. And that beautiful Reiki energy comes from Buddha. Dainichi Nayore is the Reiki energy that comes through us, comes from the universe. That energy is abundant. It is abundant. There will be an never ending supply of it. So you can use it to heal, to energize. Once you have that attunement, that just gives you a wider trackway to bring that energy in through you, which then if you're sharing it with somebody, moves through you, out your hands, out your feet, and transfers to that other person that you're sharing it with. So you're merely the conduit that shares that energy.
So in Hawaii, there is a tradition called Laulima, which I participated in when I was there. And it's basically like a laying on of hands, which is also very common in the Christian tradition. In some Christian traditions, I should say. And it's interesting because anybody can participate in Laulima. And so we are working with energy, and especially the energy of aloha or unconditional love that we are moving through the person. But, you know, as a Reiki practitioner, it's different from Reiki, participating in a Laulima session, although there are some differences. And I realized the difference that the attunements make. It's like in Laulima, yes, you are transmitting energy, but it's not as magnified. It seems like as once you have Reiki and you've had the attunements. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about who can practice Reiki. Because I know that you allow people to come, for instance, to your Reiki shares on Thursday nights that don't have Reiki. Talk a little bit about that and maybe what the differences are.
Sure. So people come to Reiki share to gain that experience and just to understand that flow of energy and what's happening. Uniquely with that is that people start to understand they have an awareness, like the third eye, the sixth chakra, activates itself and is really one of the tools that we use to read energy or to bring it into our knowing and awareness. What is that energy? So people who have been attuned to Reiki, as I mentioned, have those symbols constantly in their auric field. They're working with it all the time, which on their journey is going to change their journey. You know, the interesting part of that is it's a huge assistance and help to keep us on our spiritual path if we've committed to that. When I jumped into Reiki, I didn't realize that was exactly what I committed to. So it's life changing and it's a lifestyle. So someone who hasn't been attuned, they certainly can, they can move energy through their hands and they can feel it and start to understand it, but the direct connection with the receivers, like I mentioned, the symbols themselves are like antennas and they specifically receive that energy, and then the crown being a wider transmission piece that more flows through. So it's more like a tsunami of energy coming through versus you're just kind of feeling something. And it's really good if somebody comes in and experiences Reiki Share without the attunement. I've had a couple of people do that now, and they're like, wow, really, I love being with the community. I love learning about this. And then they go, yes, I want to get the attunement. And they notice the difference. You know, they've come three or four times, and then they get the attunement, and they go, holy, like that just opened up a whole different trackway of energy that I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it does make a huge difference between the two. So it's a good way to understand that for yourself. You know, some people just come and jump in and, yep, I want to learn Reiki. I don't need to go to Reiki Share. It's okay. I've read about it. I've had it done, or somebody has spoken to me about it. And then some folks, they just want to have that experience just to see what it's like.
Well, I have to say, like, I have friends that have taken Reiki and, you know, they go for their, you know, weekend workshops or whatever with the Reiki master teacher. And then they never have communication with that Reiki master teacher again. Like, that teacher uh-huh. doesn't offer any continuing ed, let's just say, experiences where people can hone their skills. And I've noticed that there's a difference between those practitioners that have been attuned and the practitioners who work in community and have had a lot of practice working with their teacher or with more experienced practitioners. And I just want to say, Carell, that the fact that you offer those Thursday night Reiki shares and that they're open to everybody, that to me is a huge giveaway that you do as a Reiki master teacher. And I learned so much from going to Reiki shares all those years. And I did go for years. I think I went for about 4 years or something.
Yes.
And I think I started coming also, I think I did one session before I had my attunement. And then after I came to that one Reiki share, I was like, no, this is definitely something I want to learn more about.
Right. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, Jen. It is a real huge important piece for me, and as a giveaway, it's important for me to be able to give back that way.
Mm-hmm.
It creates a balance in my world, and I didn't, you know, I had opportunities with my teacher Reiki share here and there, but it wasn't a continual thing. And when I decided to become a Reiki master teacher, I wanted to do the best job that I could do. Like, what can I do to make this even a more fulfilling experience? Because ultimately, people who studied years ago, they were living in monasteries. And so they were exposed to that every single day. Mm-hmm. In our everyday life, we're not exposed to that.
Yeah.
So we have to have some way of keeping in practice and learning to extend our experience and extend our awareness, because otherwise the evolution process won't continue. The Reiki attunements never go away, ever. They'll still put you on a path of discovery and change. It just won't be in the same probably flavor as a real opened, committed spiritual path. But certainly those people who have had those attunements still get the effect of the change in their life.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting because for me, going to those Reiki shares on Thursday nights really was like any other ceremony or ritual that I do on a daily basis to keep me consciously connected. And was so important to me in that, part of my journey for sure, but it's also made me a better Reiki practitioner because I realized every time I went to Reiki Share, I had an opportunity to learn from everybody else that was there. Because, you know, when I first started, for instance, the more visual people were coming up with all of these images that they were seeing when they were giving a Reiki session. And I couldn't see anything. I just felt energy.
Mm-hmm.
Or I had kind of an intuition about what was going on, but didn't see that as a valid way of experiencing this, the spiritual world, or, you know, that the Reiki energy. And so it was really great because, I mean, now I see quite well visually it with my third eye, but it was good because all those different ways that people experience that space of spirit were shared and validated. So it was like it amplified all of the possibilities as a student that you could really grab onto. And I didn't know if the visual stuff would ever come, and I wasn't attached to it because in your Thursday nights, you were always really clear, like, however it comes to you, just hang out with that. You know,
yeah.
It's okay. You yeah. know, another lady in our group, you know, said almost nothing, but she was like an anchor. She was the most amazing person at just holding that Reiki space.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was learning in that for me too. And so, yeah, I would encourage anybody out there looking for to study Reiki to ask those Reiki master teachers that you come across, do they offer a practice space?
Mm-hmm.
What is the continuing relationship that they can have with their teacher and with their Reiki community? Because it really does make a big difference.
Oh, it certainly does. It should be, I mean, you need to find a teacher that you connect with, but you also need to find a teacher that is willing to give you those experiences so that you can learn. Some people take the classes just because, you know, fad. It's, let's do this workshop, right? Unbeknownst to them. It's changing your life. So you want to have that support. You want to know what's going on. And you want to know that as well, other people are going through the same thing. I think that's what Reiki shared too. People come and they go, I was really thinking I might not come, but something told me I should really come to Reiki Share. And as they're sitting there sharing, going, oh, wow, everybody else is feeling the same thing. So I'm not alone in this journey.
Mm-hmm.
Every single time I engage with Reiki, something shifts and heals for me. So it doesn't matter if I'm doing self-healing, which I recommend people to do all the time for themselves. So it doesn't matter if I'm doing that or if I'm doing Reiki Share or if we're doing a group Reiki group healing and it's all about the person that's on the table. There's a piece that I get to heal for myself as well. The moments are, and the times that we don't have Reiki, we take a break at Christmas. And then in the summer, I certainly notice the difference hugely. When we're not together as a community and sharing that beautiful Reiki energy.
So walk us through what a Reiki session would look like, and knowing that, you know, different practitioners obviously do their sessions in a different way, but what is the sort of bare bones thing that somebody listening at home might expect going into a Reiki session?
So I know some practitioners don't ask for intent, but I think intent is very important. If a person's just coming to de-stress and relax, that's great. You can just silently be there with them and just be with the body and work with the energy to let the body shift and move things out of the body space. But basically, you're coming to see a Reiki practitioner for a specific reason. So it's good to have a little chat about why you're there. And then to be comfortable on the massage table, to get a full treatment, full body treatment, it's probably going to take about an hour and a half front and back. I work specifically with intent. So sometimes my sessions may not necessarily be all Reiki. But certainly if somebody specifically comes for a Reiki session, I will give them the Reiki session. you're going to work in different hand placements from the head, from the crown, and the concentration of energy is going to each chakra. So that's where the Reiki energy is going to. But it doesn't really matter where you are on the body. The body knows what to do with that energy. It'll go wherever it needs to go. So sometimes people just stay stationary in one spot, which is fine too. Or somebody may come where they have something going on in their body, and you might just be doing Reiki specifically in that spot. You know, sore back, sore tummy, headaches. So you might just concentrate the energy there. But if you wanted to just do an overall total relaxation, you can do the whole body, front and back. And you're doing hand placements, like I said, near the chakras or on the chakras or slightly above the body. In certain areas of the body, we have to be respectful of that. So depending male, female, you're going to be above the body, right? Mm-hmm. If it's the breasts or at the root chakra, you're going to be above the body, head and feet.
And people can also, the thing that's great about Reiki is for people that don't like the physical touch, that's not required, because really it's kind of like a massage for your energy field is how I experience it. So the person doesn't have to be touching you. They can send the energy just by sitting beside you or being in the same room or not. And so that's another aspect of Reiki that I think attracts a lot of people, because it feels... in quotations, safer, I think, and maybe a little bit less intimate in some ways, which for some people makes it an easier in than maybe some of the other modalities, like Lomi Lomi, for instance.
Exactly, Jen. I've only had a few people that don't want the touch. Mm-hmm. They're overly sensitive, and that's okay, because it'll still totally work. And that's a very good point. However, most people like the touch. You know, they're just like, oh, it feels so nice. Confirmation of warmth and that somebody cares. Mm-hmm. The elderly especially love it. Mm-hmm. They love that. And I love giving Reiki to the elderly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very appreciative of that. Children, they don't need as much. They may only need 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think I got a little guy that sees me, and he's up to, gosh, we got him up to 12 minutes.
They're so fast, though, kids. They're goodness. Yeah. They just grab it and go fast. And animals do that, too. You know, they don't tend to like it for too long.
That's correct.
And then they're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're almost out of time here, but I wanted to ask about who can benefit from Reiki healing, and what are some of the most miraculous kinds of transformations that you've seen throughout the years using Reiki healing?
As students or as clients?
Well, either or, I think. Well, we talked a lot about students. How about we talk about clients, people that just walk in that maybe didn't have any interest in studying Reiki?
Right. The group healings that we've done, I think, are the most profound when we've got more than one practitioner. People are coming for those healings because they're having a difficult time in their life. And they may have a challenge, a physical illness, maybe a challenge that way. What I see when we're done the session is there is a whole new glow and light about them. Their eyes light up. And they go away with this amazing, like, they just can't believe how much has shifted, how much better their body feels. They're able to sleep better. And again, if they're willing to take all that energy in and let go of what doesn't serve any longer, they have huge shifts of transformation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I have clients that been away for like 3 years, and they come back and they go, you know that session we had? Well, this is what changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I may not have heard from them again, and that's great. I like that. If they don't have to come continually. I don't want them to have to come continually.
Mm-hmm.
And something else may have changed, so now they've come back for another session. People who are on a real, maybe more difficult change in their life and their journey may need more support and just a way of continue to open up those channels and those blockages that are there. And through that experience, when they're continual, like maybe over a 6-week period, that's pretty huge too.
Mm-hmm.
That's life-changing, where they've made decisions about their career. They've made different decisions about partners or how they're living their life, changing habits and addictions. Mm-hmm. There's even another thing that I've seen some people be able to do with just, you know, engaging with that, with the Reiki energy.
Well, and it's really great. One thing that you teach all your students too, Carell, is that if people aren't just coming in for a silent Reiki session, if they want to be out in the spiritual realms with the practitioner in a more conscious way, then oftentimes there's tools and strategies that can be offered that people can take home and work with. So it really isn't just a passive exercise where you're just taking in a session necessarily, but it can also be a taking in and a learning of spiritual tools that you can take home with you. So in that way too, I think it's really invaluable, and it's something that you offer as a teacher that's quite unique. 'Cause like you said, you know, you want people to walk away with things that are going to be helpful that they can do in their everyday lives. You don't want them to keep necessarily coming back in a dependent kind of way.
Correct.
Otherwise, you're not really empowering that person or doing them a favor.
Yes.
In a way, right?
Yes. Thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It is an important thing. You know, people can come for a massage, but you know, like if I use massage as an example, there's still some things you're going to have to do and to be accountable for yourself to make sure that massage is utilizing the benefits of that massage.
Mm-hmm.
So each modality, right? It's there's a mentality that in Western medicine that we've been socialized to or taught that I'm going to give you a pill, or I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to fix you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I've set an intent in my practice that, you know, I'm really interested in seeing people who are willing to do their part
mm-hmm.
in fixing themselves. Yeah. And to work alongside with whatever practices or whatever other support they have, that, you know, Reiki isn't an end all do all. It complements many different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's an added two in your toolbox if you're going to learn it and do self-healing for yourself, which I recommend. People should just learn it, because then can really be accountable for their healing.
That's right. And, you know, the great thing about Reiki that's similar to shamanism is they're not belief systems. And so there it's like an experiential way of experiencing that divine energy. And so you can be a Christian, a Muslim, you know, a Jew. You can have a different religious practice without that interfering or being in conflict with studying Reiki or studying shamanism. And that's another piece, because we do have, you know, we do have people in our communities that still go to Christian churches or practice their Muslim faith, you know. And so in that way, I found that Reiki and shamanism actually are really universal in that way. And, you know, it's interesting because talking to another lady who said it's actually made me a stronger Christian or a more balanced Christian, I guess, is what were her words, because she had the experience of the energy and not just the concepts, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. Very good point. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Beautiful. That's really great to hear.
Well, Coral, we're out of time, but I just wanted to do a couple of things before we go. First of all, if you're out there and you're looking to study Reiki and you want to find a teacher, and you're not in Calgary, or if you are, you can go to the Canadian Reiki Association's website. And there are lots and lots of certified Reiki master teachers on that site. To find out more about Coral Mel's practice, you can visit her website at www.kilifestyle.ca. That's KILIFESTYLE.ca. And I just want to end today with thanks to the producer of the show, Marielle Smith, to all of you for spending this time with us. And I'm going to now turn it over to Coral so we can release that Reiki energy that we set earlier. And maybe a prayer, Coral.
You bet. Thanks, Jen. Ah, yes, sacred ones, at this time, I give thanks and gratitude and to the Buddhas for holding this Reiki energy during this show. And to send out a prayer that whoever has opened up their heart from this energy, that it takes them on their path with heart, wherever that may be. And we release you with gratitude and thanks. Aho.
Oh. Thanks, Coral.
You're very welcome, Jen. Thank you for having me on the show again. I love being on the show with you. It's really a great time.
Oh, thank you. We'll invite you back.
All right. Sounds great.
So aloha, everybody, and tune in next month when we interview the author of Natural Born Shamans, Imelda Almquist. Thanks, everybody. Good night.